The first hour, we'll be talking. We usually talk the first half hour. There's a lot to talk about today, and keep learning new things even as we walked in here. I just learned, maybe somebody can tell me about it, that we got sued by the feds, we the county. I'm guessing it's an immigration related matter because they've filed a lot recently of suits against counties or cities that they perceive as being sanctuary counties or cities.
So if somebody knows about that and would like to
call in, we're at 526. How would they do that? Call us at 526-5825. And if you know what United States versus Doña Ana County and Scott Andrews is about, I think it's going to turn out to be that. But somebody basically emailed me that or texted me that question as I was walking in here. So,
oh, okay.
Well, I don't know the answer.
Well, maybe that person's listening.
I don't think, well, she was asking me.
What do you know about?
She stayed longer at the county commission meeting than I did. Yeah. I was there yesterday to curse them out as usual.
How'd that go?
Actually, that's an interesting sidelight. Anyway, she stayed longer and she heard the mention of, you know, they just report things and they say, you know, correspondence, we received something regarding U.S. v. Or they received the complaint or correspondence regarding U.S. v. Doña Ana County and Scott Andrews et al. So she was wondering what that is and I couldn't help her.
All right. Well,
so if you can help us on that, call us. The county meeting yesterday was more orderly, and they had a lot of sheriff's deputies this time in case they had problems. They were like, when you walked out, there were three or four cars parked out front.
They have, and I don't know this by going to county meetings. I could know this by going to vote. But anytime you have to do any business at the county, there is, on a day when there's a meeting, there is a very obvious show of force.
Also recently with the Jupiter thing, unlike most times they have county meetings, you're parking about a mile and a half away.
So it's probably a little off topic, but we've got time. What were you cursing about to them about yesterday?
Yes, and I didn't, of course.
What were you opining about?
Basically, we've talked about this, but they everybody who watches Law and Order knows there's such a thing as due process. You have to be fair to people.
Right.
If you're taking away a right, you know, put them in jail or taking away their First Amendment right to talk to county commission, you got to go through a process. And obviously the nature of that process varies if, you know, you're being tried for a capital crime. It's a little different from if they're taking away your optometry license.
Sure. But either way, you're entitled to some
due
process.
If you just ask GP Chat or whatever it is or whatever you use, what should a county commissioner do if he wants or she wants to trespass a citizen? The answer is, you know, without doing a lot of legal law books, you got to tell them fairly what law they violated, what the bad conduct was, and you have to give them a hearing before a neutral authority. And then you have to give them a way to appeal that, like to the county commission or whatever.
Right.
Well, they trespassed Scott or
Derek Pacheco.
Pacheco, as we've talked about with him on the show. They trespassed him a while ago, and then more recently, and I think we may have briefly talked about this, they trespassed him again for nothing, and, you know, on the order of a security guard. Not even the county commission voting on it or, you know, a security guard issuing the order that somebody at, after three sheriff's deputies showed up at his house, somebody at the sheriff's office caught that, hey, security guard doesn't have authority to do this. Anyway, they could get, he's got a great lawsuit again. If I were still practicing, I'd make $20,000 or $50,000 this year suing them if they contested it.
Well, and that kind of segues into what FOG just did, the Foundation for Open Government. I mean, what you're talking about is open meetings and violating one person's Open Meetings Act. what Fogg is alleging in regards to Project Jupiter is open records violations.
And I've said since the moment it happened, when we're trying to interview county commissioners and they're saying, I have this document, but it says do not discuss.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And they're like wondering because they've been told by the administration, hey, you can't, you know, there's a secrecy order, you can't, or agreement, you can't talk about this. Well, county commission's not supposed to do that. But the idiots in the administration didn't seem to understand that or understand anything about due process. And it drives me crazy because we could end up paying Derek Pacheco a lot of money if some lawyer picks up that case and sues.
But I guess what I'm saying, this is two cases, and I don't think they're the only two, where the county is just breaking the law, the county commission, to be clear. And I guess my question is, are they getting bad advice from the county attorney? Are they not listening to what the county attorney
is telling
them?
I think on some of them, they're not even hearing about it from the – first of all, the county attorney – and, you know, I want to, if she's out there or some friend of hers, I say a lot of bad things about her. I wish her well. I think she's a good, no, seriously.
No, I do, no, I
I think
not,
she's a good person.
I did not mean
I think
to,
she's probably a good lawyer in her field or will be. She's young.
Yeah, okay.
But those idiots should not have put her in as the,
okay.
You know, and she should listen to people. I mean, you know. I'm nobody, but if I, you know, I do have a law degree somewhere. If I write her a detailed message saying, here's what due process seems to require you to do, do you have some case that says otherwise? And she's just persists, keeps on going like, you know, that was the wind blowing. I mean, I don't take it personally. I don't care. A lot of people ignore me.
Yeah, no,
but that's plain stupid.
Yeah.
Not if somebody tells you that, and anybody can look it up on GPT chat or whatever it is. So anyway, I wish her well. I think she was thrust into a public eye situation.
Do you think commissioners intentionally pick somebody young and inexperienced because they didn't want to?
No, they're not that devious.
Okay. Well, all right.
Maybe Scott might be.
Okay.
I don't know.
Meaning the county manager.
Yeah, I don't know why they picked her. She was clearly not highly qualified, and it seems to me, personal opinion, she didn't do the work to get, to make up for her lack of qualifications.
And I should say she also may be a convenient scapegoat. We should remember here it's the people who we elected who are committing these violations of law.
And the county manager. And I think he seems to have thrown her out under the bus at the end.
But to me, the county manager is the people we elected are responsible for everything the county manager does.
Yeah, I don't mean to excuse them. They hired him. I don't think I would have hired him, but, you know, by the
way. Here he is. You know, you weren't there at the meeting.
And they don't, I mean, I think they probably are divided among themselves about him.
Right.
But they don't supervise him as well as they should. Again, we're Speak Up Las Cruces, and if you have an opinion on any of the things we're talking about or anything going on in the county or the nation or the state, do call us at 526-5825.
To me, all of this flows back to Project Jupiter. And, you know, we keep saying this, and you always have to start with the qualifier that I have absolutely no evidence whatsoever, no proof, not a shred, that anybody has collected one dime illegally. What I know for a fact, every day you open the Sun News, there are two full-page ads for Project Jupiter, one in English, one in Spanish. Today's paper had two full-page ads for Project Jupiter, a tiny little strip ad for Trails West, a quarter page house ad, and that was it. So all of the Sun News's advertising revenue, with the exception of a little tiny strip ad by Trails West in today's newspaper, was paid for by Project Jupiter. They are throwing so much money around everywhere you look.
Well, and they, I know they offered candidates, you know, political figures, a lot of money for their campaign that was probably illegal. And, you know, obviously I didn't hear that from anybody who accepted.
Well, and we and I have talked about this, and I take a little bit of issue with illegal because the laws are written in a way that you can get around them. If the limit for donations is $2,000, you just find a lot of people who... And it if you can prove that you give another person $2,000, and that if you could prove that direct link, that probably is illegal.
Right. I mean, we've had this argument.
Yeah.
You know, it's certainly, you know, if I give 10 of my employees.
That's right. That's illegal.
$2,000 each and yeah, say, they, give this that's to right. that's give illegal. This to so-and-so because she favors Project
You're
Jupiter.
Right.
I think that's illegal.
Right.
I'm not
if it's not,
an
it
election
should be.
Lawyer.
Yeah. Be,
it should be. But if you do it more deviously, you know, the odds are you may get away with it. But it's certainly out there. We have no evidence that any of the county commissioners.
That's right.
But it does go back. Everything, even Derek goes back to it. You know what their best, they sent him a letter to trespass him. And their best evidence was you took pictures of, you videotaped people in the parking lot. Well, there's a Supreme Court case that says, yeah, you can do that. But guess who the people were?
Probably
Project Jupiter people.
Of course.
Sympathizers.
That's why it looks so suspicious. Yeah. I mean, they are violating laws. They're violating open meetings laws. They're violating open records laws. And they are doing it all in service to Project Jupiter. Does that mean they got an unseemly dime? I can't say they did.
There were a couple of great speakers at yesterday. I stayed for a little while, and there were, you know, the usual people that the county commissioners hate who come in and say bad things about Jupiter. Well, one of the first people after me was this guy, not as very old as I am, but mature. Had just retired as a telephone company executive, and you know, wearing a suit. And you first time there, new citizen, you wonder what he's going to say. And he said, you know, I don't know about all this because I'm new here, but I do know that, you know, my personal experience, if somebody, a public body, acted with that kind of unseemly haste, didn't do their due diligence, that was a problem.
Right.
Hello? Everybody knows it except Manny Sanchez.
That's the other thing that looks so fishy. They rushed it through. Everybody was telling him, hit the brakes, slow down, let's take a look at this thing. And they gave a deaf ear to all of that and did whatever they had to do.
In their defense, or at least, you know, people are innocent until proven guilty. But they, you know, they may have rushed it through because these people were waving around so much money.
Oh, sure.
For the county.
Sure. No, I
not for them personally.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you know, we have no evidence on anybody.
That absolves them of legal responsibility. Doesn't absolve them of political governing responsibility.
Doesn't erase the stupidity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or the failure to follow.
That's right.
Established procedures. Bad. A lot more to talk about. Oh, and we still wonder if anybody out there knows. I have a guess that it's immigration.
Oh, we have
a
caller.
So maybe somebody will answer the question.
Excited.
Hello. Good morning.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
I can.
Yoli Diaz here.
Yoli, do you know what it's about?
Yes, yes, yes. You know, I just really wanted to make a comment that yesterday was a really interesting and long, long meeting. And it looks like there is a focus to be addressing some of these issues that we have. But also have to remember, in my opinion, some of these issues they've been long running. They are historical, and I think some of them are inherited, and of course some of them are recent. And yesterday, I can tell you that I really felt, you know, how much we need our government. We're going to need a government. We're going to need commissioners. We're going to need a county manager. And I think a lot of it, especially after listening to the special audit, a lot of it has to do with the culture that has existed for a long time. And that's a lot of the subject that I'm involved in. And I just wanted to make that comment because it was almost a 10-hour meeting yesterday.
And 2 weeks ago was almost that long.
If you compare it to the city, that's very different.
Yeah. No, very good point, Yuli. And I think that applies to county and city both. There is an ingrained culture that
So I just wanted to say that we need commissioners, and I know I wouldn't want to be one, but somebody needs to be one. And there was a very human aspect yesterday that I commented on, and at the end of the day, we need to consider that. And we also, obviously, a lot of people are holding them to the fire, you know. And
we should note,
but this discussion is very, very good. And personally, I'd like that you all put this on the radio for others to be able to call in and discuss. Thank you.
Yoli, you're also, Walt and I were talking about the fact that a lot of people are suing the county over open records, and you are, right? I don't want to get into the substance of it, but you are suing them currently, right?
You are correct. And please understand that what I just said, that some of these things are long running, right?
Mm-hmm.
I made extreme amount of efforts, and I know you're aware of them, for many years. You know, we've just about hit the 5-year mark. And sometimes this is what happens, right? People advocate. Sometimes, or many times, probably feel that they fall on deaf ears. And finally, the attention happens, and, you know, things happen to create that attention. So media is a very important feature in all of this, because that's exactly what created the national news, after I wrote an article to the Albuquerque Journal. And, you know it well. It got the attention of Gretchen Morgenson. And, you know, that's the other thing, the importance of everyone that's involved, media especially, because we wouldn't know these things. And so I know what my hopes are, and I know what my corrective action I'd like to see. And I hope as this moves along, we're going to get to know a lot more.
One last question, Yoli.
And the public needs to know.
What you did you find out what the lawsuit by the feds is?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
You know, I just wondered, could it have to do with, you know, anything dealing with, you know, property, water rights?
I'm guessing it's immigration, water rights.
I don't know. I think maybe at some point in time we're going to know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well,
thank you.
Yoli.
Have a good day.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You know, we haven't even gotten to... I think there are, you know, two very interesting state political situations. One is Maggie Toulouse Oliver won over Harold Pope the nomination, Democratic nomination for lieutenant governor.
Right.
She then had health concerns that forced her to withdraw, and the Central Committee will decide, technically, realistically, the gubernatorial candidate, Deb Hollings, will decide.
Yeah.
And she's announced that she's going to vet people. She's going to interview, presumably, Harold. What's her name? I've drawn a blank on her name, but the former Stephanie Garcia Richard, who had thought about running for it and didn't. And there's some state legislator whom I don't know who has announced that he's interested. So she'll vet all those people. But an interesting, you know, on the internet, there are some people saying, you know, Harold should be the choice because he ran. He did the work.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, you know, and I sympathize somewhat with that. On the other hand, she got 80% of the vote. That's not a huge, you know, whatever he got is not a huge mandate by the voters.
Oh, no. And the other thing I would say is that the lieutenant governor position has right. whatever power the governor chooses to give them. And so having her select somebody who she knows she can work with, I've seen several incidents where the lieutenant governor was elected separately and they just clashed and never really worked together through the whole administration.
And it's a position that, you know, not to insult Howie Morales, but
yes.
I wrote in a draft column the other day, you know, who remembers that guy from Silver City? He was a nice guy.
I was going to say, Howie Morales had a lot more power when he was a senator exactly. from Silver City than he did as lieutenant governor.
So interested in anybody's thoughts on that, on, you know, how much credit should Harold Pope get for running? He did run for the office. He did put himself out there. And
on the other hand, maybe you could argue that the voters had their chance and they chose somebody else.
I think it's fairer to say Maggie's great popularity.
I do too. I mean, she already held statewide office, and he was a state legislator.
No, so. Harold Pope, slightly. Wish him well. The other interesting state situation, and this is kind of breaking news because I think it happened yesterday.
Right.
And I think you also wanted to talk about this, is Ken Miyagashima's sort of independent candidacy for governor is probably over.
It is. And it gets to New Mexico is taking teeny tiny baby steps towards breaking away from a two-party, we control everything, nobody else gets to be heard, which is still what both parties would like if left to their own devices. That's what they would have. But with the number of independent voters growing every single day, they are forced to do things like this year for the first time, independents can vote in primaries, which is a big deal.
It's a good thing.
But they come to these things kicking and screaming.
Right.
And so after Gary, the rules are that if you are running as anything other than a Republican or a Democrat, you have to get five times as many signatures on your ballots as if you're with a party. Now, there was an exception for that for, I think, three different cycles for the Green Party.
Mm.
Because when Gary Johnson ran for president, he got, I think, above 5%, which I believe is where the total is.
Yep.
And so for, I think, three different election cycles, Green Party candidates got to be on the ballot. But that's passed.
We should say what happened is Ken filed suit. A lot of people, including myself, thought his suit was, in terms of fairness, a good idea.
Right.
In terms of precedent, he was likely to lose
But
he sued saying that's unfair to third-party candidates, that if you're not in the party, you got to get way more signatures. And what happened yesterday was a judge, Judge Wilson, not from here, but probably from Santa Fe, but a judge decided, nope, I'm not going to issue an order. And Ken has said, hey, that it's probably over.
Yeah, he's not going to make it. And to be honest, the judge would have been activist if he'd ruled any other way. Yeah, exactly.
But it does raise, wish Ken well.
Right.
He spoke at a gathering a couple of weeks ago. His wife asked me if I'd sign the petition. And I said no. And a little while later, Ken asked me, and I said, how's it going to look if I say yes to you and I didn't to your wife? And he said, she'll love it. So I signed. with mixed feelings, because part of me thinks, okay, it's actually between the Republican and the Democrat. Let them fight it out and not have.
But it won't be a fight.
Somebody else.
This year. I mean,
side.
In past years it has. In past years, Republicans have competed for governor. This year, they're not going to.
They have a
nominee. For a lot of different reasons.
And they have a nominee for lieutenant governor, and they're already trying to poke the Democrats in the eye by saying, how is this? How's the new lieutenant governor candidate going to be chosen?
And that's all well and good. But the point I'm trying to make is, as a voter, I would much rather have somebody who is in between Deb Haaland and I forget who the...
Hull?
Greg
Somebody Hull? Named Hull.
Yes. Well, that's Greg horrible. Hull. We need to know who the Republican Greg candidate Hull. For governor is. Okay.
And we will invite him on the show.
But my point is, I think a lot of voters would see Ken Miyagashima as a as a moderate compromise and would like to have that choice. And it's not the judge's fault that they don't get that choice. It's the legislature's. And you have to keep the pressure on those guys to let independents into the process.
I mean, an interesting discussion maybe sometime when Nancy's co-hosting because, you know, she was a political science professor. It's the parties were not contemplated in our Constitution. I think George Washington kind of warned against them that, hey, we're falling into factionalism. But now we have factionalism in the extreme, hyper-partisanship. You know, it's I've said this probably too often, but it's like Michigan State, Ohio State and Michigan playing football or whatever it is.
Yeah, red team against blue team.
You know, and it's the reds and the blues, and my grandfather was a red or a blue, so I'll be a red or a blue. And that's how I am, and I don't care if their coach molested children.
I think that my grandfather has nothing to do with it anymore.
May be so.
Yeah, I think you got every part right, but that. I mean, that's the old days. The old days, is, but that's
as
changed.
I said it. But people are red or blue, and that's it. And you just and it's interesting. You know, we have some people on that I thoroughly disagree with, like Juan Gomez. Or Juan Garcia, sorry. And we had lunch the other day, and we argue, you know, in a civil manner.
Right.
But we really don't see it the same.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we can't, you know, be friends to a certain degree and be friendly and have him on the show. But he was wondering, you know, do you get a lot of feedback for having me on? You know, negative feedback.
Oh, we don't. We haven't. You may
really.
Get more than I do. I don't get a whole lot of feedback.
No, we haven't really. Yeah. I mean, I've a little bit a long time ago, but not much.
Everybody gets a say.
But he gets feedback for appearing on our show.
Well, and
negative.
We got more flack from the left when we brought on Sarah Smith, and you know the school board is telling us we can't platform certain people.
Right. You know. The school board gave us hell.
Yeah.
Not for.
I love that word platform. You know, you're platforming. Yes. We're having a discussion.
Right.
I'm
disagreeing 100% with Sarah Smith, but she can talk.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
it's a community radio.
I mentioned this to Walt the other day, but part of my sympathy for people who are not of the majority view is that. When I was a young guy and I realized that the war in Vietnam, you know,
I'm just curious, before you go further, what is the majority view?
Well, the majority view in this state is certainly not pro-Donald Trump.
In this state? Okay.
And certainly in this county.
Okay.
And the majority view elsewhere at this point is not pro-Donald Trump.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Polls say, you know, 60.
Oh, certainly, certainly. But what I'm saying is... Polls will tell you that at least 35% are still diehard, are still ride or die.
30%.
Okay. That's millions of people. That's entire counties.
It is a lot of people. It's not a majority
in
the United States.
No, but it's entire states and it's entire counties.
And we should remind folks that we are Speak Up Las Cruces on KTAL LP 101.5. FM, Las Cruces, New Mexico, and we're at 526-5825 if you want to call us and, you know, tell us how things should be.
Right.
But at any rate, part of my sympathy for people who are looked at as lunatics is I was looked at as a...
call them conservatives.
Some people look at them...
You were making a point, and I interrupted.
I'm sorry. I went to a... I went to a restaurant the other day, and well, no, I won't recite it because. But basically, I was told that the reason, you know, I was asked why our education system isn't any better.
Fair
it was
question.
A rhetorical question, okay. And I said it's a good question, and yeah. Started to answer. And he explained that the reason is the fluoride in our water.
Oh.
Diminishes our IQs by a certain amount per, yeah. You know, cubic inch or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's his view.
Sure.
And,
it's, you know, not worth.
Anyway, my sympathy for people who are expressing views that some of the other people might laugh at comes from growing up and realizing that, you know, hey, this war we're doing in Vietnam and the other things we're doing in Latin America are really insane. They're immoral. They're bad. They're also stupid, counterproductive. You know, and I'm like whatever I was, 2018, whatever it was.
Right.
You know, not the only one, obviously. But we were treated in a pretty poor way by the majority because, you know, we had these crazy opinions that became majority.
I think that's making it too easy. I think the reason we have Donald Trump and MAGA is because of the Democrats. Once again, we have a two-party system. Once again, we don't have anything in the middle that mm-hmm. people can gravitate to. And so when you have these, and it was social issues, and it's still social issues more than anything else. I saw something the other day where somebody said something about 76 genders, and the the progressive, the liberal person on the panel said, "Oh, there's no such thing," and that was my immediate reaction. But then I looked it up, and yeah, sure enough, it's a thing.
Yeah,
that drives people crazy. Yeah. That drives people crazy.
I would say that excites the crazy people because I disagree with you, but go ahead.
Well, let's talk about that more. There are two genders, Peter. I get it that people identify as this, and you can study that to death, and we have. Lord knows we have. That's why we have 76 genders. But when you try to explain to people that there are 76 genders, their immediate response is, well, that's crazy. Because it goes against everything, not only they've been told, but everything they know from life experience.
Right. And when you explain to people, I've had this experience with an otherwise very intelligent guy. This was some years ago. Maybe he feels different now. His wife did even then. But, I discussed the climate craziness, global warming. And he said, you know, God handles all that. And he said, you know, that's all so vast up there. How could we little people affect it that way?
Yeah, I've heard that argument.
Okay. Does that mean I shouldn't make that argument anymore?
No.
Does it mean I shouldn't
have
if I'm running for office?
Genders?
Hmm?
No, but why did you change the subject?
Because
we weren't talking about climate change.
All right. I don't know that I'd phrase it as there are 76 genders, but...
Do you understand how people react to that?
Sure. Okay. I do understand. Okay. And I deal with it, talking to people.
Right.
But I don't think that means we personally, you and I differ, obviously.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. It would be,
a boring show
quite boring if we always agreed. But, to me, you've probably seen kids like this. I mean, I had a friend whose son, when they came to visit and stayed with us in San Francisco, you know, at a very young age was clearly feminine in all of his manner.
Sure.
Cute kid. But
Has been the case.
I thought when he grows,
right.
He's going to be gay. And he did. Very pretty guy, nice guy, but that's his. That's who he is, and if he, He has not changed his sexuality physically, but if he did...
Nothing I have said thus far should lead you to believe that I don't believe that he should be what he is. He should right. do what he should. All and, I'm saying is we have overstudied this to death, and we have told people that if you have religious convictions that tell you that that is wrong, if not only religious convictions, no. if you just believe in your gut that boys are born boys and girls are born girls, and no. Throughout time, there have always been people who didn't like that, who wish they'd born the other way, but you just get what you get. And, you know, and to label all of that as hate, and, I mean, it just drives people away.
I mean, I can't disagree. On the other hand, I do think, you know, without calling people haters, trying to speak up for people's rights is important.
Okay. And I'm telling you that's why Democrats are losing elections.
And it may be. We somehow, certainly, we got Donald Trump.
Well, you can't do that.
And somebody's made the very good point that now that he's shown that you can use everything in the office as a profit center to profit personally and have your son profit or son-in-law profit personally and your sons, somebody's raised the question, you know, can we ever go back?
But I want to go out back to the somehow, some way we got Donald Trump. We know how we got Donald Trump. It wasn't somehow, some way. It was because Joe Biden had the very worst debate performance in the history of televised debates.
Yeah.
And that was followed up by Kamala Harris being rushed in there without any kind of process. And the Democrats lost because the Democrats deserved to lose. And we didn't somehow get Donald Trump.
Right, this is
true.
That's not how we got
let
him
me
the first
finish.
Time.
That's exactly what I was going to say, if you let me finish. You can make that argument the first time. You cannot make that argument the second time. We got Donald Trump the second time knowing warts and all, and knowing that there would be no guardrails. We were told that rightfully over and over and over again, and we thought the alternative was so unacceptable that we took that anyway. So that didn't happen somehow. That happened because of decisions made by the Democratic Party.
Agreed.
And they come out with this autopsy that is so amateurish and so poorly done that it just makes you wonder.
Agreed.
Do these people know how to get out of bed in the morning?
Let me distinguish Joe Biden and the bootlickers who worked for him.
Yes.
Enabled
who should
him.
Go away. Stop writing books. Go away.
I would distinguish all that from the point you were initially making that we have, which is also true, but very different, that some people get pushed away by the fact that that the Democratic Party
you're right.
so
two different
aggressively
they are two different
pushed
issues.
For fairness for gays,
that's
fairness
right.
for transsexuals,
that's right.
what have you. You know, those are two different issues. You want to talk about, I mean, I think I can make excuses for individuals, but Biden should have walked away as he initially said he would. Somebody should have said, sir, you're really losing it at some point.
Right. I mean, we're railing against the Republicans
and you're
because
absolutely right that the, you
know, they're excusing everything that Trump does, but
and,
you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I feel more comfortable with maybe one group of people in there and no president than I would with the other. But what the people around Joe Biden did was put either personal ambition, hey, I'm close to the president, and I won't be if I say, you know, hey, he's got to go, even to him or his wife.
Yeah.
They should have done it.
Pushback.
They put party and or personal ambition ahead of the nation, and they shouldn't have.
But while they are two separate issues, they both were important. And the point I will make is Donald Trump's final argument, and you could not watch a sporting event anywhere in the country without seeing an ad during every ad break that had the same closing line. She is for they, them, he is for you.
Yep.
I mean, that was his closing argument, and it worked.
Yeah, I wouldn't conclude that it would necessarily have worked in a different situation, but you know,
I think Democrats, as you yourself pointed out,
the Democrats weakened themselves incredibly.
But this gets back, putting
it all on this one horse that had gone lame.
That's right. But this gets to a little bit to the Graham Plattner issue.
Yes.
You know, we talked the other day about Democrats kicked out Al Franken off the air. I shouldn't say the other day. We're talking about this off the air. But Democrats kicked Al Franken out of the Senate because of a 12-year-old photo they found of him doing something inappropriate when he was a professional comedian.
Right.
He was making jokes as a professional comedian, and for that he had to get booted out of the Senate. Democrats have this purity standard that if it continues, will result in six more years of Susan Collins. If Democrats take the position of, you know, he had this tattoo, he says it wasn't Nazi, to me it looks like the Jolly Roger. It's a skull and crossbones.
An expert on Nazi symbols said that really didn't look like it to him.
Okay. Well, whatever.
I mean, others have said otherwise.
My point is, it's not a swastika. It's not an SS logo. It's a skull and crossbones. So that's strike one against him. The others are allegations the allegations are the worst parts. The texts and all that, that's it. That's there. You can look at it. You can make of it what you will. The allegation that he wrenched a woman's arm behind her back, forced her into a room and wouldn't let her out would be disqualifying to me if I knew for certain that it was true, but I don't. And so I guess my point is Democrats are losing these culture wars because they are so unyielding.
So purist.
Yes.
So, yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure I can argue with that. I mean, I think it's really tough. I mean, you have to be. Yes, they are so purist about women being mistreated. On the other hand, you know, I was in a situation with a law firm, you know, that I probably mentioned before, where a guy had basically harassed various women whom I was friends with, and they told me about it. And
I get it.
In that particular situation, you know, they did fire him, even though he was a good business getter and a popular guy in other ways. But there are so many situations where that, and worse than he did, happens and nobody cares.
And we just saw with Eric Swalwell. I mean, we know that this stuff is still going on, and we know that women and people vulnerable positions need protection. And I'm not in any way endorsing harassment or disrespect or, you know, I'm not. But I think when you cross the line over into what seems like promotion, for some people that goes too far.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does.
So there we go.
The Graham Plattner thing indirectly raises another issue that I guess people are real sensitive about talking about. But it certainly, you know, has to do. Oh, the Iran war, we should talk about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, does Israel through AIPAC, mostly, does it have too much influence on who gets to be in our Senate?
Voters in New York City yesterday said yes. Mamdani had three Democratic socialist candidates who he ran for the United States House against two incumbents, Dan Goldman and Espelot. I forget his first name. And all three of the Democratic Socialist candidates won.
Yes.
And so their answer to your question is pretty clear.
Yeah. I was going to throw that out there as a question, too. How significant are those? Are they just New York? I mean, certainly.
Certainly. They're just the most progressive parts of the country. Yeah. But they're not just New York. They're New York, Los Angeles, Portland. I think obviously Bernie Sanders. So it is a growing movement, and a logical outgrowth of MAGA. I mean, I think the Democrats need something to counter MAGA.
I would, by the way, throw out an alternative why we got Donald Trump.
Okay.
Which is, you know, I mean, there's no question that we have, and this has never been a good thing when it's happened with us or others, we have an incredibly widening gap between the wealthiest.
Yes.
And we can't take care of all our people. We're the only nation that doesn't have basically public health.
We just have our first
trillionaire.
Yes, in harmony.
Yeah, that's wrong. People, whether they articulate it that way or not, they're feeling it's
yes.
wrong.
Yes,
because they're feeling what they don't have, and they're looking at super wealthy. And neither party, because each party responds favorably to money, neither party is really addressing that. Now, this may touch on the Democratic Socialist thing in New York, but neither party is really getting to that
yeah.
the way they should.
I agree.
And I think people are fed up because they, with some justice, they see it all, you know, much as I like some of the elected officials we've had on the show and think they're trying to do a good job. Basically, people feel that it's all an elite. They are not part of it.
And they're not wrong when they feel that.
No, I'm agreeing with them.
Yeah.
And they may, they credit it differently in the sense that I think it's a right-wing elite.
Sure.
They think it's a left-wing, you know, so
but
the
both sides
MAGA
know
people
it's
think
not
it's
going
a left
right.
It's wrong.
Yeah.
And I think people, and I said this when we first elected him, this is the people throwing a monkey wrench into the works because the works ain't working for them.
Well, and I'll throw one more thing on top of that, and that's AI. And so everybody yeah. out there who feels like, you know, they can't get ahead, their jobs are going in. And now you're looking at this new technology that not only is going to put thousands, if yeah. scores of people out of work. I won't try to estimate how many that is. But
make a couple more trillionaires.
And make a couple more trillionaires and maybe end up in the destruction of the world. You know, I mean, we don't know. We don't know. Yeah. They're already talking about we've got to shut it down because it has the ability to penetrate all of our defense mm-hmm. systems, all of our, not defense, but intelligence, all of our intelligence systems. So you can get in there and all of our secrets, you can plug in the AI. So
I got a question about that one. If I were inclined to agree with that position, which is, if we shut it down and Putin doesn't.
Yeah, it's not Putin, it's China.
I know it's China, but.
But that's the argument.
But Putin is more evil than China.
But that suggests you have two choices, gas or brakes. I mean, you don't have to shut it down, but you can regulate
yep.
it. And well, we are refusing to do that because we think it's a rush against China. And I think probably more economic, yeah. they're thinking, than military, but it's certainly both. So, yes, I mean, all of those things are out there, and all of those things contributed to the election of Trump. But, you know.
I think people are deeply dissatisfied for some very real reasons. And they're, you know, my feeling, yeah, when we had what did they used to call them, the Tea Party?
Yeah.
My feeling was, you guys are allies who don't know it yet, in the sense that they were angry about how things were, and I think they got misled to believe it was welfare cheats.
Right.
You know.
Well, you're more generous to that group than I was. To me, that was just plain racism.
It's tough for me to call. It certainly was with some people.
Yeah.
No question. And, you know, Mr. Trump is personally a racist as
no
far
question.
As, you know, the evidence from before he became as much of a public figure.
Yeah, right. And nothing since then has changed it.
Not hardly.
Yeah.
Should touch on the war in the sense.
I hear things are going poorly.
Yeah. I wonder why you make a guy Secretary of Defense because, you know, he yap-yaps on radio.
Yeah, where is Pete Hegseth?
Biden should have made me Secretary
of something. When is the last time we've heard from Pete Hegseth? Why is he out there talking about all our lethality?
Where we seem to be is Trump is kind of begging Iran to get back to where we were before Trump came in the office first time.
That's not going to happen.
And savaged.
That's not going to happen.
You mean he's not going to beg them?
He's going to beg them, but they're not going to do it. We already know what deal he's going to cut.
And it's going to be what we had before. Before he threw Obama's agreement out, except worse, because there's going to be a lot of sanctions released, and there's this $300 billion, vast amount of money that Trump said we're going to give him, and then he said it's not us, it's going to be other Asian nations.
I don't know if that ever happens, but what has already happened is we removed the sanctions, and they are selling their oil, and you're a fool. Nobody is foolish enough to believe that they're not going to use that money for weapons. They're going to rearm. They're going to be buying our soybeans and grain.
And for helping their allies in other countries.
Well, and the other thing that's going to happen is the Strait of Hormuz will open. But it will open with fees. And it will open with the understanding that they can shut it down whenever they want. And so
what
all
Donald
of this,
Trump has accomplished is...
all of this is the result of a rash, foolish, stupid decision. And what you were saying before about Israel and the reaction in the New York election, all of that is a result of Netanyahu leading us into this war. Yep. I mean, everybody understands that's the deal.
I don't know that everybody understands.
Well, the vast, anybody paying attention, it's not really being denied.
No.
I mean, Netanyahu came in, gave his pitch. When he left, all of Trump's advisors have warned him against him, told him not to do it, but he impulsively, by his gut, how he does everything, and made a bad decision. And when asked about it, he says, it'll turn out all right because it always turns out all right. Yep. Well, if you're Donald Trump, maybe you can make that argument. But it doesn't, when he shuts down, when he, declares bankruptcy and demolishes his casino and walks away and takes that check and starts something else, it works out all right for him.
Yeah.
It didn't work all right for all the people who are working for him. And, so that's his view of the world. And he is leaving. I don't know. I do not know how this eventually gets. I would not be surprised if we just pick up stakes and leave without any kind of deal, without any kind of agreement, because everything, it seems like every time something new comes out, it's worse than what we had before. And he keeps telling us that we're, this great deal is just around the corner. No, it's not. Nobody's believing it. Yeah. When I say nobody, I understand that he has his followers who will...
That group is getting smaller and smaller, according to polls.
Yeah, it is.
Particularly on the issue of Iran and the issue of the economy.
Well, the whole time he was in office the first term, my greatest concern was he was going to start a war. I thought it was going to be with North Korea. Yeah. But when he got out of office after 4 years, my biggest sigh of relief was we got through that without starting a war. Well, we didn't get through the first 2 years here without starting two wars.
Yeah, at least. And we're also killing a lot of fishermen.
And he hasn't stopped talking about Greenland, and he hasn't stopped talking about Cuba.
Many Republicans and many Democrats realize, he's an idiot.
Well, we should say, let's give the Senate finally a little tiny skosh of credit. Finally, they grew.
Well, they passed the war resolution.
Yes, where I was going. They grew a tiny little resemblance of a backbone by passing a meaningless war resolution that will go over to the House and will probably get passed in the House.
No, House already did.
Oh, House already
did. They
did
a while back.
So it now goes to the president, who will not sign it, and that'll be that.
Yeah, it doesn't have force of law.
But yes, give them credit. I mean,
agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're right. The House that went through the House first, I forgot. I think on a, What do they call it when they force them to put it on the docket?
Petition for discharge.
Yeah, discharge petition. Yeah. That's right.
They also, you know, they back up to them. It's interesting on the little things to us that they fight them about. One of which, you know, which is when it has to do with Senate rules and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Their fight over the Senate parliamentarian.
Yes.
One of his many efforts to basically bend the, you know, put umpires in place who are on his team, basically.
Right.
And in the Senate has a parliamentarian. And ideally, she, no matter who appointed her, she should be pretty neutral. And if, you know, I was appointed by Biden and Democrats are, you know, breaking the rule, I should say that.
Yeah.
And she does, apparently.
Yeah.
And she does such a good job in a hyper-partisan setting that the Republicans actually resisted Trump when he said, get rid of her, because it's inconvenient for me that she actually imposes rules on you guys. And they said, no, we need this to function. And if they get back, if Democrats get back in, they could put in some partisan person, too.
Yeah, of course.
And so they fought him on that.
And they're fighting him on Bill Pulte, his housing guy, who wants to make him in charge of national intelligence. They're picking their battles. But, boy, talk about too little, too late. That's after giving him Matt Gaetz was the only person out of this clown car that he put up for cabinet secretaries. The only one that wasn't acceptable to them was Matt Gaetz.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
We have 2 minutes to go till our next segment. And our next segment, we're going to talk with Travis Brown of the Southern New Mexico State Fair, and he runs the county fairgrounds out there, and John Hunter of the Historical Society about the 250th anniversary celebration in the county.
Yeah.
It's not the county's 250th, but it's the U.S. 250th.
And
what are we doing? So we'll get to hear, you know, what the different booths and celebrations will be and other interesting information that those gents have.
Speaking of celebrations, we have our own coming up next month. We give people a sneak preview on July 25th. We're going to be holding a celebration of our ninth anniversary.
On 26th July 2017,
we first
did what we're doing today.
That's right.
Talked on the radio. It was our first local show, and it's continued to this day, for better or for worse.
Yeah, we were all squeezed into the control room that day, so we've grown a little bit since then.
Yes. Thank you, John, for being in the control room.
Yeah, look at us
and signaling
now.
Us that we have only a minute to babble.
Yeah.
And then we have more intelligent people to talk with.
Anyway, we're going to have an event coming up on the 26th that we'll be letting people know about, but it's going to be a concert featuring KTAL talent. KTAL hosts will get a chance to get out there and perform. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Musical hosts are musical.
That's right.
And it'll be at the Destination?
At the Destination, that's right. The Sports and Arts Complex, one of our underwriters.
Yes. And if you're out there thinking about how wonderful we are, become an underwriter.
we love our underwriters.
Business, we do love our underwriters. We're going to be right back on Speak Up Las Cruces.